Welcome to Ray and Tay Today.
A tornado flew around my room before you came. Excuse the mess it made, it usually doesn't rain in Southern California, much like Arizona. My eyes don't shed tears, but boy, they pour when I'm thinking about you. Ooh, no, 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 I've been thinking about you. You, no, 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 I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still? Do you, do you? Or do you not?
Welcome to the show. This is Ray. That's Tall Rayside.
Oh, welcome to Tay Eric Taylor, and I'm thinking about CC pitching game 5. No, we had to cool it out on a smooth Friday morning, Ray. Little Frank Ocean, you know what I'm saying, for the people.
I got you, but that's because you're trying to mask the hurt that you have deep inside with your feelings.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about why we didn't pick off that pass or maybe punt the ball instead of kick a long field goal.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. Yeah, let them know how to reach us.
Well, listen. Join us on the adventure as always, man. Give us a call as we have fun for you and just for ourselves and sports and the whole world, man. 718-664-9098. On October 12th. Wow, it's just flying. Before you know it, it's Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year. Wow. So, hey, hit us up, man. Follow us on Twitter at Ray and Tay Today. That's R-A-E. Hit us on the Facebook. Give us the like and, you know, put comments on our Facebook page. We always check it out and read stuff on the air. And then Gmail. Hit us with the email questions. Ray and Tay Today at gmail.com. So, you know, let's talk about what we're going to get into on this great football Friday.
We got a jam-packed Friday show for you with a lot of interesting stuff. So we're going to talk about this Thursday night football game we just had yesterday, Pittsburgh at Tennessee. We have three very interesting top 25 college matchups on Saturday. We are right in the mix of the baseball playoffs. We had two series end yesterday. We got two series going to a fifth game today. And then we're going to continue with our top five NFL, top five segment, which this week we're going to go with top five NFL coaches. So,
head coaches of all time.
Exactly. And then we'll preview this week 6 in the NFL. We got several good games coming up. And we got four big teams on byes for all you fantasy guys, so don't forget that. So, all right, Tay. You know we had
to do
all
it. I got
to
say is this, right? We lose Gilchrist, Ponce, Mendenhall, Redmond. Congrats to Big Ben. Throws for 363, passes. He needed 307 to pass Terry Bradshaw as the all-time leading Steeler quarterback for passing yards. So congrats to Big Ben. He's incredible. Last night, I don't know. I don't think Swisham can make 54-yard field goals, so maybe I would have punted and played for overtime. But maybe you got to take that chance to get the win, you know?
I mean, I don't blame Tomlin on that.
No, I'm not saying you blame Tomlin. I'm just saying I want another kicker is what I'm saying. But that's another story. But I got to say, we cannot run the ball. I mean, shout out to Batch. He looks good. He got the touchdown. You know, I want to see Chris Rainey play some more, except for, you know, more than just special teams. But, you know, it's just frustrating because right now you can pass all over the Steelers. We miss Troy. Keenan Lewis dropped that interception, would have stopped that drive, and then Kenny Britt drops one touchdown and then, you know, beats Clark and gets the other one. And it just hurts because you can pass. Teams can spread us out like the Patriots have done over the years, even though it didn't work last year. But you could spread us out and you could pass on the Steelers, and that's the way, the formula to beat us right now. And somehow we've got to get to the quarterback. Shout out to my boy Lamar Woodley, and we definitely missed him, and we need him back soon. Hopefully that hamstring heals, and we play, I believe, next Sunday night against the Bengals. So hopefully we'll have him for that. But I don't know, man. Take it away. My heart is broken. We should have won, and we lost, and we're 2-3, and I'm upset. So, I'm going to say this. Let's go, Cowboys! Cowboys and Browns,
yeah,
Browns, baby.
Yeah, I knew deep down that Taylor would become a Cowboy fan. I knew it.
It's hard, right? No two teams do I hate more than the Cowboys and the Ravens, but I got to root for the Cowboys to beat the Ravens for a division win.
Your enemy is your best friend,
so,
right? At least
no,
this
you know,
week,
and I got to root for
put on your Cowboy jersey.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's kind of funny in that sense. But I tell you, it was rough, man. I mean, even though it's only preseason, thank God for the Knicks last night to keep me off the edge because my Yankees lose game four and my Steelers lose. So
yeah, we'll get into the Yankees. We'll get into the Knicks a little bit later on, not in this episode, but probably in a future episode.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, let's tell the fans on Monday, October 29th, we're going to have a special hour-and-a-half show, and we're going to do our NBA preview. So look for that, fans, and we're going to have a Ray and Tay Fantasy Basketball League. So we'll send that out to folks if they want to join in with us for some fantasy basketball coming up soon. So basketball will be popping off on Ray and Tay.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll take care of all you basketball fans. But the game last night, you know, I don't have that much to add other than the fact, you know, all I was looking at was for fantasy, okay? Because I don't really care for either of these teams. I mean, I'm a football fan, of course. I watch the game, but I'm not.
Well, Chris Johnson did some fantasy stuff, 91
Chris
yards.
Chris Johnson did some fantasy stuff. And, you know, I had Kenny Britt. I mean, I had Nate Washington in this league, Kenny Britt in another league, in our league. So just to let you guys know, Ray and Tay are playing this week.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have
to get into that, right? We'll have to.
Yeah, we'll have to get into that. But you had Heath Miller, I had Kenny Britt. But in terms of real, you know, real football, not fantasy football, you know, I'm a little worried. You know, it's a little bit like the Packers, right? You give the Steelers the benefit of the doubt because you think they've got a veteran team. They got a tough head coach. They got a great defense. You just need to get healthy on that side of the ball with Woodley and Troy. Getting to, you know, being healthy. And then on offense, you know, Mendenhall looked like he was back last week, and then it seems like that offense has regressed a little bit, and now losing an offensive lineman, that doesn't help. And then, you know, Redman going down as well. So what you try to do is establish an identity, and I still have a problem this year with the Pittsburgh Steelers' identity. What are you? You know, Ben always wants to make plays and throw the ball, which every quarterback does. But historically, you guys have been a running team last few years, especially with Bruce Arians. You've been a passing team.
We've
and
been
now
60-40,
with Haley,
and this year we're like 70-30 pass. It's bad.
Yeah, so I really
like
don't
Packers.
Know what you are at 2-3, you know, especially if the Ravens win tonight, although, you know, I'm rooting for Mark.
Well,
Carr
the Titans, you know, like they are who we thought they were, a team we can beat and pass on.
yeah, well, you know, I'm still not ready. I still put you guys in the same category as the Packers. Now, you're probably more complete than the Packers in the sense that your defense has less to improve than the Packers' D does, although their offense.
But both teams have, you know, bad offensive lines right now.
There's
a lot going
issues.
On.
And
yeah.
By the way, you know, Cincinnati, if they put it together, that means that you'll have Cincinnati and Baltimore in your division. And the Packers will have the Bears and, you know, the Lions
and the Vikings,
you know,
now.
And the Vikings. If the Vikings
this Detroit-Philly game
together.
This week is going to be big for both divisions.
Yeah, so
we'll see what happens.
The Packers and the Steelers really need to put it together. You know, there's only 16 weeks in the regular season. You know, 2-3, you need to get it together. If the Packers lose this week, they go to 2-4. So I think, you know, you came off the bye, a little disappointing. You know, I'm a little worried if I'm a Steeler fan.
Well, we came off the bye and beat Philly, but then we good feeling.
Your bye is behind you. So there's no, like,
yeah,
you need to get healthy, but you don't have that week to get
healthy.
Well,
it's almost like another bye for us, right, because we play Thursday night. So we'll have a chance to get healthy, and we don't play again, I think, until Sunday night. So, hey, well, listen, let's let that go. let's move on, man, to some you want to get into some college football?
Yeah, we got some college football, so we'll go quickly through the college because we got baseball and other stuff to do today.
Yeah.
College football, we have three excellent top 25 matchups this week. So number one, we've got Texas-Oklahoma at the State Fair. See, one of these days we need to do a road trip. This would be one of those college games.
Definitely.
Michigan-Ohio State would be one, but Texas-Oklahoma at the State Fair in Dallas, that would be another one. You know, that Red River rivalry. So
it's intense, and people don't know, and people from that region, I mean, you know, look, there's three states, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, where it's, you know, it's Friday football, Sunday church, and football is so huge in Texas and just in the whole Midwest and that whole, you know, area. And I really, when I look at this game, it's sort of like, you know, what we were talking about a couple weeks ago. It's about Landry Jones, and honestly, I think Texas having a great game, you know, and a good battle against West Virginia, I think Texas is actually going to take care of Oklahoma, something awful. I look for Oklahoma to drop really far in the rankings. I'm looking for like 30-17. Texas wins this game. I just don't think Oklahoma is playing consistent enough, and I think Texas will get it done.
Wow. So it's 3-1 Oklahoma, 4-1 Texas. They're in Dallas, so they play this game every year, you know, at quote unquote the neutral site. I don't know. I feel like Oklahoma's been underachieving, and you know, they've got Landry Jones and they got the running game, and to me, you know, Williams is a nice runner. I'm waiting for him to, you know, step it up a little bit. I was very impressed with Texas before the West Virginia game. I thought that Texas would actually handle West Virginia. So, you know, I think the game will be close, and I think ultimately Landry Jones will drive Oklahoma down the field, kick a field goal. So I look for a close game and maybe a 24-21 Oklahoma victory. So,
okay.
Yeah, I like the Sooners
well,
in this game.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Well, then next up we've got number 17, Stanford, at the number 7, Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Wow. That sounds weird to say number 7, but it's real because, hey, they've been beating everybody in front of them. You know, you can only play who's on your schedule.
Well, they haven't been ducking anybody. You know, they played Michigan.
No.
Michigan State.
They haven't. And they still got Oklahoma and USC. You know,
yeah.
They still got two tough ranked opponents, USC and Oklahoma. I actually, to be honest with you, I think Notre Dame is going to win this game. Not just because they're at home. I tend to like their defense. I think, you know, you don't know which quarterback they're going to go with or go with both, whether it's Golston or, you know, the other quarterback. But
I think Golston will play a big part in this game.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. I like the tight end. I think what's really going on, though, is an emergence of, you know, year three of Kelly's system. And, you know, he's done this at Cincinnati and other places where it's the defense and his recruits, like he's got some speed, and I like the Notre Dame's defense. Of course, I respect Shaw and Stanford and, you know, the quarterback over there, but I don't see enough from Stanford, you know, and I don't know if they can, you know, stay consistent. I don't think they're going to be able to pull it off on the road. So to me, I'm seeing close game. I think Notre Dame pulls it off 24-20.
Oof. As much as I hate to say it, I think Notre Dame probably wins this game. I'm looking for somebody to knock them off because I think they're not that good. Although, like you said, on defense they've been great, and their front seven on defense has been fantastic, and good for them for actually bringing in some athletes, and Manti Te'o and those, and that crew is really playing well and keeping them in every game. And I think that Josh Nunez and Stanford, you know, they can play. They can move the ball. They beat USC. So they can certainly pull off this upset. But coming across the country, going to South Bend, as much as, you know, I'm pulling for Stanford, I think the Irish win. I think the Irish have home, you know, have a decent home field advantage. And I think now this combination of the defense plus the two quarterbacks, I think ultimately Golston will play most of the game and really take charge, and I think the Irish will pull away in the second half. I think it'll be low-scoring game until the second half, and I think the Irish pull away. So, yeah, look for the Irish to take care of business. For all you Notre Dame fans, if you win this game 6-0, and you got to figure, you know, we got some movement potentially. You could break the top five. Notre Dame.
Well, no, because all the higher seeds above them have pretty much cupcake games, so I don't think they'll
be losing. Well, except for this next game, right? We've got number 3 South Carolina going to Baton Rouge and playing LSU, coming off their loss. So, definitely. Carolina beats Georgia.
This is huge. You know. I don't know.
Game.
I mean, to me, do you feel that LSU, I probably with you should have gone with the Gators last week. Just last minute, I said LSU, but I don't believe in this LSU team, and I don't know if they are legitimately a top 10 team. So I think South Carolina, if they can run the ball the way that they've been running it, and that defensive line, if they can handle LSU's speed, LSU is not an offensive juggernaut. So, I mean, I think South Carolina can, you know, it's going to be a special teams battle in some sense because LSU's defense is great too, right? But if South Carolina can pull it together and with some trickery and some trick plays and, you know, and Lattimore, the running back can get going, I see a tight, tight battle. I see 17-14 South Carolina.
Okay. See, I think LSU has the defense and has the athletes to shut down Lattimore, right? And then if you shut down Lattimore, you put the pressure on Shaw and Bird in that passing game for South Carolina.
Which isn't that bad.
No, and I think that they'll get frustrated. I think they'll get under their skin a little bit. I think because they'll have, you know, 2-3 and outs, that LSU will get under, you know, shake up this the South Carolina team. And the old ball coach, you know, we'll start to do some trickeration, and then, you know, maybe there's a critical turnover. So I think LSU has trouble on offense, but I think they're good enough defensively, like you said, to keep this to a low-scoring game. But I think they're on the other side of that low-scoring game. I think they actually pull it off. I think the home field advantage, I think the fourth quarter, the fans being down there, Baton Rouge, man, that's another place we need to road trip to, man. Get some good grub, watch a good SEC football game. But, yeah, no, I like LSU in this game. I like LSU to pull off, you know, coming off that frustrating defeat last week to Florida. I think LSU takes care of business and they win.
So we only really agree on the one game.
Which is funny because we
Notre
both
Dame.
Don't like
Which is
Notre
funny
Dame.
We agree on Notre Dame, the team that neither one of us really like. That's comedy in itself, so. But, all right, so, you know, listen, obviously there's some other good games. You know, we'll see what happens, see if West Virginia could keep going against Texas Tech and different things. But that's, you know, college football in a nutshell. And, you know, like Ray said earlier, we got a full action-packed show. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll get into what's popping off in MLB playoffs, last night's heroics, and then 2 game fives today. We'll be right back.
Yes, my name is... That's my language. That's my language. That's my language.
So, if you're a baseball fan, has been a fantastic start to the baseball playoffs. There was a little bit of controversy in the beginning with the 4-5 seed and the fact that Texas, you know, had for much of the Major League season was running away with that AL West, and they had the best record in the American League, and then they lost to the Orioles in that one game playoff. But and then the Cardinals again with the 5th seed end up beating winning their way in, playing their way in that one game playoff. But putting that aside, this has been a great playoff so far. Every series.
Oh, yeah. And even those games are great. And, listen, it's all about you got to do it on the field. Nobody gets a pass. But you know what hurts? Texas has got to hurt having, to see Oakland lose to Detroit. I mean, I think it's got to hurt Texas. Now, maybe they feel better if Baltimore, you know, goes on and beats the Yankees. But the Rangers got to be in some pain right now, man. Because they lost it on the field. They messed it up.
Yeah, well, the Braves are probably kicking themselves too. But, you know, The good thing here is that from baseball's perspective, all of these five-game series are going to five games. How great is that?
That's great.
Let's go through the game. So let's go one by one. So in the first game, which is kind of weird because for Giants fans, they need to watch this game at 10:30 in the morning. But Giants-Reds. So the Giants go down 0-2. They have no offense, and they look terrible. The problem is what we didn't know was that Johnny Cueto goes down in that first game, pulls his ab, goes out in the
first
inning.
And I think that's a bigger story than people have been talking about.
Exactly,
because
he would have been the Game 5 pitcher. So you say to yourself, okay, even if we lose, so the Reds go up 2, they lose the next 2, and then you figure Game 5 at home, we got Johnny Cueto.
Yeah, you're like happy with Cueto, but they didn't have Cueto.
So now you had Latos, who can pitch, right? But he's not Cueto. He's not your number one pitcher. So to give everybody the final, the Giants win 6-4. And interestingly enough, kind of like the Yankees did to the Yankees did in 2001 to the A's, the Giants score 6 runs in the 5th. Buster Posey hits a grand slam, and they score 6 runs in the 5th, and that's it. That's all the scoring. And they end
How
up scoring
clutch is he,
holding
though, man.
On to win 6-4.
That's your National League MVP right there, probably, doing his thing.
Buster Posey, yeah.
That was a shot. But, for me, obviously, you picked the Giants, so I have to give you a shout-out. You're out-dueling me in the picks right now, definitely in football by a lot. Baseball, I think we've been kind of, back and forth. But I tell you, my Reds, they were looking good, and then they just flat tire. But I think Cueto, hurt them.
And watch out. So the real interesting thing to think about with the Giants is, they lost Melky Cabrera, and for some reason, Tim Lincecum forgot how to pitch.
Well, now it looks like he woke up. So that's,
but now
you're right.
Now he's back. He pitched 4 1/3 fantastic innings last game in game 4. And then he pitched 2 great innings in, game 2. So Slim Jim Timmy Lincecum looks like he's back. And then if you add him back into the rotation with Kane and Bumgarner, these guys, they're scary when they can pitch. And then if they can
pitch.
Right,
and that's what it's all about in baseball, especially in the National League, too. You've got to have that pitching. And, that's what propelled the Giants to be World Series champs, just 2 years ago. So it's going to be interesting. Then after that.
Yeah, so that was that first game. And then after that, we had the Cardinals and the Nats in the nation's capital in another pitching duel. And
Jason Worth
comes up in the 9th inning. So Kyle Loesch goes out and pitches 7 innings of 2-hit baseball, right?
Yeah,
and even Detweiler comes out and pitches 6 innings of 3-hit baseball. And they each give up 1 run. Detweiler's was unearned. And this thing goes to the 9th inning. And the big money acquisition, who really, dollar for dollar, hasn't paid off, Jason Worth.
No.
But he comes out, and, that's the $20 million man. And he comes out, and he hits a huge, huge home run in the 9th inning off Lynn.
And you got to be happy for the national fans, at home to, get a win because they lost the first one at home. And, it would just be so great for them today, to walk out there and in a Game 5 situation at home and pull it out, I just got a funny feeling.
We both picked the Cardinals, but the Nationals are a better story, right? The Cardinals won.
No.
Well,
I think it's
games.
A better story if the Nationals win.
Yeah, we both think. I think the Cardinals are going to win, actually, because I think they're clutch.
I do too.
Last year, but it'd be so much better. And you know what? The National fans deserve it because hey, that team was great all year long. A and B, they lost Strasburg, and you know what? I want them to advance to the next round so people can forget about Strasburg and give Davey Johnson and Rizzo and all those guys a pass. They made a decision. They stuck with the decision. I would have handled it differently. I probably would have shut him down for a month in the middle of the season so that he doesn't get up to his 160 pitch count, if you really believe in that. And the doctors have all been saying that that's, you know,
right,
maybe
right,
you, could,
right.
you can go up by 10% on that,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, you can play it multiple ways, but you gotta think of a whole career and not just one season. But it's hard because in baseball, you might only have 1 year to win the World Series, and this might be the team. So we'll see what happens. Game five today. They start at what is it? Are they 1 o'clock?
No. The Yankees play at 5:30, and they play at 8.
Okay, so they're tonight, Friday night. Oof, Friday
night
baseball.
The Yankees play at 5:07 Eastern, and the Nats game's at 8:37 Eastern. So it's funny because the Yankees will be in that twilight, you know, with the shades and the shadows, because afternoon games in Yankee Stadium are tough on the outfield.
Right. But at least, you know, it will get dark quickly because it's only, you know, it gets dark around 6:15, so they'll be okay.
Yeah, they'll get a few
in the twilight. Pretty quickly,
and
yeah.
Then
that's the next game. I mean, really, what was so incredible, you know, Yankees-Baltimore, it just felt like the Yankees didn't want to take it. You know what I mean? When you watch that game last night, you're sitting there and you're, you know, if you're like me, you're going back and forth watching the Steelers and the Yankees, and it's just one of those frustrating nights because you're hoping, of course, it's another extra inning game, and you're just waiting for the Yankees to get a clutch hit. And again, I mean, Ray, talk to me. What's going on with these bats? Granderson struggles, Swisher. I mean, people want to just rip A-Rod, but besides Jeter and maybe Ichiro and Martin here and there, and, of course, Ibanez, who's not on the – can he DH today, please? Can we please get him 4 at-bats today? I'm serious. And listen, R.I.P. to Girardi's dad, man, and what a champ and warrior. He's kept it real quiet and classy and private with his family, but it's got to be hard. You know, he lost his dad Saturday, and he's been managing, going through. And so just, you know, from Ray and Tay today, a quick, you know, rest in peace to the Girardi family and losing his pops, you know. So.
Well, luckily for the Yankees, the Orioles were as unclutch as the Yankees, but –
Definitely.
These teams have been. You know, is it great pitching or is it, you know, poor hitting? But we've said this all along. The Yankees rely on the long ball, and it's really hard to hit. Even though they have hit some clutch ones, Raul Ibanez had 2 clutch ones, but it's hard to hit home runs in the playoffs. Let me give you some stats. The Yankees home run hitters. So Mark Teixeira is batting .333 in the playoffs, but Robinson Cano .111. Alex Rodriguez, .125. Nick Swisher, .133. Curtis Granderson, .063. He's batting terribly.
Wow.
So all
yeah,
these
Curtis
Yankees
is killing
hitters,
us. I mean,
it's not A-Rod only. A-Rod is, you know, he's having his struggles for sure. But it's Swisher, Cano, Granderson, and A-Rod. What's in common with all those guys? They hit home run. I mean, look, Granderson of those guys is really a home run hitter with a bad average hitter. But the rest of those guys hit for average, you know, and home runs. But the Yankees power outage in the playoffs, and they don't manufacture runs. So they rely on that home run. And when it's going great. But when it's not, it's hard to score against.
Well, it'll be
team.
Interesting to see if Jeter will DH again or not. I think maybe he might go back into the field. Who knows? And maybe Knicks, you know, will still play short. You know, I don't know if they're going to do anything with Nunez or whatever. But this is my issue. I think that, you know, obviously with the lefty, they kept A-Rod in the lineup. No problem with that, right? That's honest pitching. And they dropped him down to 5, which was good, you know, but Cano's not hitting either. You know, maybe you just switch the whole lineup and just move everybody around just to shake up everybody, you know, because it's game 5. You got to do something, you know. Maybe Cano should have got 4. Maybe put him 3 or, you know, just try different things. But I will say this. I want Ibanez in there. Let A-Rod be a pinch hitter. You know,
Your question. Okay, so would you start, assume Jeter's leg is good enough, because you against a righty, against Hamill, you don't want Jeter and Nix, both of their bats in the lineup, and obviously you want Jeter as long as he can play some short. But let's say he can. So question number one, are you starting Chavez or A-Rod at third base?
Third. I could do either or. I want to see, maybe I do Chavez and I let A-Rod be my pinch hitter, and maybe he can come in and get in a bat or two if Chavez isn't doing anything, you know, late innings.
Wow. Okay.
But
so
I,
just, okay. So you,
but
you
I want
you
a Baez. I want a Baez getting
58?
Four at bats. He's one guy that's been clutch. I mean, if you're not getting from Swisher and Granison and this and that, put a Baez in. It doesn't make any sense, you know. To him to pinch hit and get one at bat, maybe two if we go extra innings. No, let him get four at bats.
I agree with that. In fact, I would say, you know, even though Hamill's a righty, I agree with you, but I'm starting A-Rod. I mean, Eric Chavez is a good player, and there's no drop-off defensively. He's a former Gold Glover, so they both do very well defensively at third base. So, really the question is offensively. Now, A-Rod has actually hit Hamill pretty well in the past. I think it's a 360.
Yeah, now that's true.
Although A-Rod, you
have A-Rod at third,
right?
But you put Ibanez in a DH.
Yes. I don't have a problem with that at all. You put Ibanez in a DH.
I let
Jeter
start, and if
righty,
he's a liability, then, you know, I take him out and bring in Nix or Nunez. That's how I play it, you know?
Well, you'd probably use Nix or Nunez later in the game as a pinch runner and just leave them in there to hit. And then if we're
definitely. I'm just saying if you start Jeter and then he's not looking great in the field, if he can't get to balls or something, then I'm saying you take him out. But you start Jeter at short.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and I think you start A-Rod. Look, maybe it's just me, but the fear of A-Rod, even if he just gets into one and makes, you know, there's a mistake and he gets into one, he's still A-Rod, right? I mean,
yeah.
I just don't know if he's
really healthy. That's my problem. He's looking bad out there.
He may not be mentally healthy. we might have to sit him on the Ray and Tay couch and be like, look, A-Rod, you're still the man.
Yeah, we have to hype him up a little bit. But let's keep it moving, man. And then obviously we talk about, look, last night, congrats to the Detroit Tigers. They come back and on the road, right, win a game five and three in a row. And, you know, it's, well, not, I'm sorry, not three in a row, but they win the game five, and it's impressive, man. I mean, obviously the A's had the heroics in game four, but Verlander, you know, was ridiculous, and he handled the A's like it was, you know, like he just made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It was boom, boom, boom.
He went at him Jack Morris style.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, it's so funny because you say
Jack
that,
Morris.
And that's, it's exactly what I was thinking about, man. Jack Morris.
That was a World Series, though. So Jack Morris went 10 innings in the 91 World
Series.
Yeah,
but still, I mean, it was real clutch. It was real clutch. So,
you know, it's
great. We got some great games today. So.
Yeah, in that game, you definitely give kudos to the Oakland A's. They definitely played hard, represented, you know, their fans, their whole Oakland, the whole, you know, small market team, small payroll. Good for them. At the end of the day, though, it comes down to two words, starting pitching. And
yeah,
as much as baseball is a team game and as much as baseball is about, you know,
you're momentum as good as next day starter
and bullpen and all that, the one, just like in hockey, your goaltender, the single most important thing in playoff baseball is starting pitching. And then when your starting pitcher is Justin Verlander, the best pitcher in the game, although in the playoffs he hasn't been historically, he goes a complete game, four hits, one walk, 11 strikeouts, and gives you 122 pitches. It's it. That's it. It's a wrap.
No, he's a horse. He's a horse. So, well, listen, let's keep it moving. We still got a top five, but right now we're going to jump into the NFL and break down some of these games. Let's real quick talk about
well, we got our top five segment with the NFL coaches, and we've got the NFL game. So we got a lot of NFL going.
Yeah. Well, let's real quick, let's do a little fantasy. We have a matchup today in our CBS Sports Fantasy Football League. I'm going to read my lineup because Ray and Tay are battling each other. So I'll just read my lineup real quick. We started off last night, and I'm up 12-8 because of my man Heath Miller. So our quarterback, I've got Kevin Cobb, because I have my quarterback, Jay Cutler, on bye. So I think he could, you know, take care of the Bills. Running backs, I got Peterson and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the law firm. Receiver, Victor Cruz, dancing all over the 49ers.
I have the young Andrew Hawkins for the Bengals who blow the Browns up. I already said Heath Miller at tight end. And then I have at my little flex, I've got Pierre Garçon, who I think finally the third week back will do pretty good with RG3 against the Vikings and probably a shootout. My kicker is Tynes from the Giants. And then I have the Vikings defense, so I actually go against myself in that aspect. And then, Ray, why don't you break down your team real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to first have a disclaimer that some of my big dogs are on bye, so I don't need people to laugh at me. So I got Maurice Jones-Drew on bye, and I got the Bears defense on bye, and Jimmy Graham on bye. So I'm hurting a little bit, so I need some help out there, folks. But my starting quarterback is Peyton Manning. My running back is Marshawn Lynch, and I have a problem with my second quarterback. I picked up Jock Bell from Detroit.
Second
I got knocked
back
out a little
yeah.
bit as my second running back. Or I might pick up Danny Woodhead, but I'm struggling on that second running back. I got Nate Washington, who played last night, gave me 8 points. Reggie Wayne. Jermaine Gresham is my tight end. My flex is A.J. Green, also wide receiver, obviously. And I had to swap out my Bears defense, so I took the Dolphins against the St. Louis Rams, hoping that at home in the rain they could hold down the Rams. And then my kicker is Jason Hansen with Detroit. So if you guys have any, you know, we'll take advice too. We don't just give advice. We take advice. So if you got some guys out there, remember our league is a 12-person league, and they pretty much scooped up all the running backs. So in Indianapolis and in Arizona, you know, all those backup second and third tier running backs. But if you got an idea for me for running back, Ray is happy to get an idea.
Speaking of which,
Jay, listen to this. We got an email. Let me just get to this email real quick
because
it's fantasy email. We got Eric Myrowitz, Big Daddy, our boy, you know, high school basketball teammate of mine.
Bronx Science style.
Bronx Science and a half. So, you know, he's been very supportive. He writes us an email. He says, "What's up, fellas? Quick fantasy question for you. Would you start Matt Stafford against the Eagles or Andrew Luck against the Jets? Thanks, and keep up the good work." Well, thank you, Eric, Big Daddy.
Andrew Luck all day long. He's heating it up, him and Reggie Wayne. I think the Eagles' pass defense is great, and I think Stafford is in for, he's in for a shootout, but maybe not an explosive, you know, game like that. So I go with Luck. The Jets' defense is not so great, and their secondary can be had. I look for the Colts to have a good game against the Jets. So,
you know,
that's just me. I take
it's
luck.
Funny. This is closer than I would think, right? If you told me before the season, I'd say Matt Stafford all day. I would say you never sit a guy that threw 5,000 yards because he's going to throw on average 300 yards a game. So I think that in this game, Andrew Luck might have a little more success against the Jets. So I might agree with you, but it's just so hard to sit Matt Stafford. I see that's a great question because this is a hard dilemma. I would say most every week it's Matt Stafford. How could you not go with Matt Stafford? But,
yeah,
you know, his interceptions and his being a little up and down this season, maybe this is the one week you try to sneak Andrew Luck. Plus, with Donald Brown going down, he probably has less of a running game than he's used to, and so he might have to throw it more and more. And you probably get 300 yards out of Andrew Luck. And Matt Stafford, you know, maybe you get 250. Maybe you get a couple interceptions out of Matt Stafford because of that Eagles defense. So for 1 week, maybe it's Andrew Luck this week. But in the long run, I still love Stafford.
Well, let's keep it moving. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with our Top 5 Friday segment, Top NFL Head Coaches of All Time. Well,
right.
Let me tell you, listen, Top 5 Fridays, our Friday segment is back, and we like to look at, you know, top 5 of anything. It could be any sport all time. We've done top 5 quarterbacks. We've done college football quarterbacks. We've done top 5 announcers. This week, we are going to do the top 5 NFL head coaches of all time. So we'll get through this quickly because we still got our Friday picks. For me, I'll just start off with my honorable mention and do my number five, and Ray and I will go back and forth. So it's hard. You know, of course, any list is definitely hard. I have a tie for five. My honorable mention are, of course, Big Papa Bear Halas, George Halas, the legendary coach of Chicago Bears, and the hat, the class of the NFC for so many years, the Dallas Cowboys, Tom Landry, just incredible. And at number five, I have a tie between my heart and soul, Chuck Knoll, right? 4-0 in the Super Bowls, perfect. You know, didn't always, you know, be innovative, and I think he benefited from not having free agency, but Chuck Knoll was just a great coach and really, you know, took the Steelers to a whole nother level. But he's tied for me with, you know, someone that other people might have higher, but I'm going to go with number five, tied with Chuck Knoll, Don Shula. Obviously, you know, the Dolphins, you know, 14-0, you know, with 72 team, his win with the Colts, and of course their famous loss, right, to the Jets and Joe Namath. But Don Shula, you know, he took a young Marino to the Super Bowl, couldn't win later on in his career, and never got back to the Super Bowl. He didn't have that great talent. I think Shula, I have him lower five because some people might have him number one. You know, he's the all-time winning coach with record, is that he sort of, you know, he kind of dropped off with in his later years. But definitely won with Baltimore and won with Miami, so he's, you know, won, you know, multiple Super Bowls. So to me, Don Shula is an all-time great coach, and it seems like he had coached, you know, forever. So that's my number five and honorable mention.
Yeah, I can't argue with those. Those are great picks. I mean, I had honorable mention, and some people might think it's blasphemy, but Shula and Landry, I had them both as honorable mention, you know, number six. So Shula is the winningest coach in history, 328, 156 and 6, so a 678 winning percentage, but he was only 2-4 in Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And then Tom Landry won 250 games, was 2-3 in Super Bowls. So,
yeah.
You know, to me, it's all about winning Super Bowls, and that's why my number five guy, you mentioned him, Chuck Knoll, is got four Super Bowls. 4-0 in Super Bowl, 209, 156-1 in the regular season, 16-8 in playoffs, and he was instrumental in drafting and incorporating that 1974 draft class with Swan and Lambert and Stallworth and Mike Webster. So, to me, Chuck Knoll, by virtue of those 4-0 Super Bowl seasons, you know, maybe X's and O's wise wasn't as good as Shula and Landry, but, you know, tie goes to the Super Bowls, and by being 4-0, that's my guy, Chuck Knoll, number five.
Well, I'm going to jump in with my number four, and we talk about X's and O's and Super Bowl wins. He could easily be higher. I just think, you know, he's just my number four, and that's the great Bill Walsh of the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, obviously, he, you know, did what he did with Montana, you know, the great, you know, catch to Dwight Clark, and he just put in this West Coast offense, and he's had so many coaches develop under him, you know, Holmgren and McCarthy and Mariucci and all these other guys. And so I think, obviously, he had, you know, Ray Rhodes there with the great defense and George Seifert. Bill Walsh was an innovator. He had great defensive teams, you know, but he also had Montana to Rice. But I think without always great running games, he had these schemes where the short passing, you know, they drive down the field. It was like a running game, the West Coast offense. So Bill Walsh was just a genius, and he was 4-0 in the Super Bowl. So obviously Seifert got the one with, you know, when they beat the Chargers, destroyed them. So, but
no,
Bill Walsh.
3-0. Seifert got two. He Walsh left right before the back-to-back Super Bowl, the 89-90. So Bill Walsh is three, and Seifert's got two.
Oh, did Seifert get? I thought Seifert's
first one was against the Chargers.
Like,
no, Seifert got that one too. But he got the second of the back-to-back Super Bowls. So Walsh only has three Super Bowls.
Oh, that's right.
But
okay.
But he inherited the team,
He's definitely, you know, the man, and he's my number four. So go ahead.
No, I say he's a great pick. We'll revisit that in a sec. My number four is old school, Paul Brown. So he made his career in high school, and then he went to Ohio State, and then he was the Browns, and then he basically brought the Bengals into the NFL. So here's a guy that went 213 and 104 and 9 ties back in the day. They had a lot of ties. 7 championships. And this guy revolutionized football because at this stage, if you're top five, you got to start revolutionizing the game. And he revolutionized football two things. Obviously, he was instrumental in the Bengals coming to the NFL and the Browns becoming the superstar, you know, stalwart AFC team. But also, he introduced game film. He introduced this idea of watching pass games and scheming.
Yeah.
And that's what NFL football is all about now. And that's why coaching in the NFL is so important, and it really drives wins and losses, even as much as players to some degree, the schemes that these guys have. So to me, number four, he was not universally loved, Paul Brown, but he really revolutionized coaching.
Well, for me, my number three is the tuna, the teacher. Bill Parcells, he's won wherever he's gone. I mean, was incredible with the Giants, and he's had a lot of great coaches pop up underneath him, like Coughlin and Belichick. But to me, Bill Parcells obviously did it with the Giants. He got his Super Bowls, 86 and 90. You know, he took the Patriots to the Super Bowl and lost to the Packers. He tried to, you know, install something impressive with the Jets and almost got him to the Super Bowl if it wasn't for the Broncos and Testaverde in that second half. But obviously, to me, it's Parcells. He, you know, did stuff with the Cowboys, you know, tried to help out the Dolphins and different franchises. He's the tuna, and he's my number three, hands down.
So my number three is actually the student, is Bill Belichick. So Bill Belichick was the defensive coordinator on Bill Parcells' two teams that won the Super Bowl with the Giants, 86 and 90. And Parcells, if it weren't for the kryptonite of Tom Coughlin and the Giants, Belichick will be 5-0 in Super Bowls, but he's only 3-2. But he's got the two with the Giants as an assistant coach. So to me, he is 17-7 in the playoffs, 175-97, and he's the coach and the GM, and he is the main man up there in New England, and really the heart and soul of that franchise. So on an X's and O's basis, and just a general leadership and instilling his way and his knowledge of the game, both on the defensive side, but also schematically, offensively. And think about how many coaches he's lost and how many people and the lack of talent
he
had.
Well, he
lost
a lot of coaches
Brady
like Parcells did, yeah.
Yeah? Bill Belichick.
All right, so we're running low on time. So my number two is that guy, Bill Belichick. Okay, so Bill Belichick, just, you know, everything you said, he's incredible, but also he could have won if that Cleveland team didn't move to Baltimore in 95. And also, I think, like Parcells talked about, he gets the groceries. He's a great drafter. He knows how to get rid of players when it's the right time. And I think what's so great about Belichick is that, you know, he stopped the greatest show on turf with the Rams, and he, you know, beat the Eagles, beat the Panthers. He's had nobody, and he's turned players into, you know, running backs, receivers by committee, and just won. And so to me, Belichick, obviously even the matchups of stopping the great Manning, 9-4 against Peyton Manning. So to me, Belichick is my number two. That's where the student to me is ahead of the pupil, because I think Belichick has surpassed Bill Parcells at number
two. Yeah, I got that too. I don't have Parcells even in my top five. Number two for me is Bill Walsh. So I'll be real quick. You mentioned it. You know, the two things he brought to the game, obviously the three Super Bowls, 10-4 in the playoffs, only 92 wins, but he brought a philosophy. He brought the West Coast offense to the NFL. So he actually said, you know what, passing the ball is like running the ball. A 4-5-6-yard pass is just as good as running the ball. So he brought an offense, and that tree of coaches, Dungy and Holmgren, Shanahan, Green, Rhodes, all under Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh is the man, has a lasting impact. God rest his soul, rest in peace. Number two position. That must mean that our number ones are the same. So I'll let you.
Well, yes, our number ones are the same. And to me, you know, it's how I learned certain things about football. My father was a huge Vince Lombardi fan. I mean, obviously the Packers won the first two Super Bowls. He won multiple championships. People don't realize he also coached with the Jets and I believe with the Redskins. He was with the Jets. He was the defensive coordinator for that Super Bowl team under Weeb Eubanks. So Lombardi is just a winner, and just, to me, clear-cut number one. And the way that he developed the running game, the passing to the tight end, you know, the way he used Horning and McGee and just, you know, Bart Starr, the defense. And, you know, he also created the importance of the offensive and defensive lines. So, to me, Vince Lombardi, without question, is number one.
Yeah, not much to add there. 7 championships, 9-1 in the playoffs, the epitome of a leader, the epitome of a leader of men, the coach's coach. So, yeah, Vince Lombardi is my number one, too.
All right, well, listen, that's, you know, Top 5 Fridays. You can email us with your suggestions and thoughts about your coaches. We'll throw it out there all weekend. People respond on Facebook, and let's jump in. And also for next segment, for next week, who you might want to talk about, your top five, whatever, in any sport. Now, look, number one is straight up. We got Detroit at Philly. I think for me, it's going to be a battle. I think Philly pulls it out just because of the fact that I don't care Detroit had the bye week. They've got a lot of issues. Sue had a traffic accident. You know, maybe it's not major, but this team is just, I don't know what's going on with Schwartz because he's under the Belichick tree, but Detroit is just a mess off the field and sometimes on the field. I look for the Eagles to win a close one, 27-24, they pull it out.
I like Philly, too. I like Philly to put it together, even though you hate to bet against teams off a bye week, but they are going on the road. I think Philly is much more powerful and you know, explosive on offense than they've been showing. I think if they cut down the turnovers, they win the game.
Yeah. Then we got your Cowboys.
Yes, sir. My Cowboys.
Now, listen, this is so funny, right? I mean, obviously, yeah, I want the Cowboys to win because they're going up against the Ravens and I need it for the Steelers. But I got a funny feeling about this game. A lot of people didn't see KC Baltimore last week. I watched some of that game. Baltimore and Flacco and those guys, it was on the road and they play better at home. They looked horrible. But I got to say, this week I think the Cowboys wake up. And for some reason, I just feel that they go to Baltimore and they steal one. I can't even tell you that they should win this game because I think that, you know, one thing I will say the Cowboys have is the defense, right? And I think that they could shut down Ray Rice, and I think they can get to Flacco. So I look for the Cowboys to win a close one, like 23-20 Dallas beats Baltimore.
I agree. I think the Cowboys win, and this is not as a Cowboy fan because, you know, I picked against the Yankees when I thought they'd lose game two. And I think that the Cowboys, when their backs are against the wall, they come out fighting. I think they're going to do like they did the Giants. Their offensive line is still not great. I think they've got to figure out a way to solidify that, run the ball a little bit. But I think Tony Romo makes
it. And they can run on
plays.
Baltimore. Murray can run it. They can run on Baltimore.
Well, DeMarco Murray's had a subpar season. But I think that ultimately Romo will make 2 or 3 critical plays. And I think in the secondary with Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, and a healthy Jason Witten and Ogletree and the depth that they have at receiver, I think that the big play.
Can Dez Bryant catch
Cowboys.
A ball and hold on to it, please? I mean, come on,
well,
for
maybe
real.
It's, maybe a security guard needs to be changed. I don't know. But I do think that like the opening game of the season against the Giants, I think they win a game they shouldn't win on the road, and they take it and they move back to back to 500.
Now we got New England at Seattle.
Or should
they
go above 500-3-2?
Right.
Sorry,
now, this could be a trap game. Obviously, you know, Seattle did what they did against the Packers with some referee help. I just think New England is playing so much better defensively, and I don't think Seattle has enough offense. But I think Seattle is going to give New England all they can handle. I don't think Gronk will have a big game. He's still a little banged up. And I don't know if Hernandez will come back. I think Seattle is so scrappy and tough, and I think Lynch will be able to run on them. I just don't know if Russell Wilson is quite there yet offensively, and their wide receivers aren't tough enough. I think the Patriots pull out a close one, 20-16 Patriots win at Seattle.
See, I think this is a blow-up. I think the Patriots go in there and blow out Seattle. I think Seattle, when they play tight, it's like a boxing match, right? If it's tight to the vest and they can hit you with some jabs and some uppercuts and whatever. I think what will happen is that the Patriots are just going to get on them early and often. And I think the Seattle doesn't have enough firepower to come back from behind. I think Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch in a close game make it for an interesting matchup, but I think they'll be down 21 by halftime. So I look at the New England Patriots running away with a blowout.
Give me a score.
38-17.
Ouch.
That's a huge scoring game.
Ouch. All right. Well, listen, we got the rematch of the NFC Championship. Giants got to fly back out to the West Coast to play the Niners again. Listen, the Giants are banged up. It's going to be a game-time decision if Akeem Nicks plays. Same with Martellus Bennett. I want the Giants. I want to pick them with my heart. For some reason, I just don't think the Giants can pull this one out. I really think the Niners win a close battle. I like Hunter and Jacobs might play this game. I think Manningham does something. Crabtree's has woken up, and I think that you never know, a shot down to Randy Moss, but Vernon Davis is unstoppable. Giants might just be a little too injured, and I think the Niners pull out a 24-20 win, and the Niners, the most complete team probably in the NFL, pull off the victory against the Giants.
You know, it's interesting because the Giants actually playing without Hakeem Nicks will benefit them in the long run. I think it'll force Barden, who's got the concussion, but Randall, Bennett,
yeah,
and all these guys to step up. Obviously, you got Cruz as being and Hickson too, but obviously you got Cruz as the as your 1 and 1A. So I think in the long run, the Giants are going to be okay trying to figure out how to win with a diminished input from Hakeem Nicks. I think the Niners are still upset about last year. They still feel that they should have been in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they take care of business at home. I think it's a close game because I don't think the except for what they showed against Buffalo and against the Jets, those two weak AFC East defenses, but I think the Niners don't have enough explosiveness to run away with the game like I think the Patriots are going to do in Seattle. So I think it's a close game. I think the Niners ultimately win. And I think the Giants play tough. The Giants play respectable football, but I think the Niners go to 5-1, hold serve at home. And
all right, give me a score.
All right, I got 20.
Don't be scared to give out scores now. Come on.
No, I don't like giving out scores. But if you need me to, I'll give out a score. So I think the Niners win 24-20. So very similar to your score. Is that what you had?
I had
24-20. That's my score. And then we got the same. I mean, I think it's a close game. Both teams score a couple touchdowns, a few touchdowns, but I think ultimately the Niners pull it off.
Well, the last game, the Sunday night
game,
I got to say that it's going to be tough, right? The Packers against the Texans. Packers lost Cedric Benson out for the year. I don't know if Starks is going to be back yet, maybe get a couple carries. So Alex Green gets the start. The Texans lose Brian Cushing out for the season. I think the Packers have to find a way to win this game, but it's not going to be easy. But I have a funny feeling that for some reason in their dome in Reliant, the Packers will show up. Rodgers will do what he has to do, even without Greg Jennings. Finley will be a game-time decision, and I just feel that the Packers will pull out a really close one, 27-26, over the Houston Texans. It's going to be a heck of a football game, Sunday Night Football.
It's a good thing I'm not betting real money because I would be broke because I'm betting on the Packers every week to pull it together because this is the Super Bowl matchup for me, Packers-Texans. Obviously on a neutral field in New Orleans. But I think that the Packers have to win this game, like you said. I think that the Texans are a great, well-rounded team. There's no reason they should lose this game other than the fact that the Packers really, really, really have to win this game. They can't afford to go 2-4. So I like the Packers in a little bit of a shootout. I think that Rodgers is going to have the ball last, and I think they're going to win this game something like 34-30. I think that ultimately the Packers go to 2-4, Texans go to 5-1, but this is still my Super Bowl rematch. I mean, my Super Bowl matchup.
Well, listen, we'll catch you guys on Monday. Great show. It's going to be interesting. Let's go Yankees. I think the Yankees win, and I think the Cardinals win in baseball. So we'll see how these series get started.
We'll see you on Monday.
Let's go, CeCe. Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Know.
Thanks for your emails. Thanks for your support. Ray and Tay today. We're out. Have a great
weekend.
Watch out for the
Cardinals beating the Bills and Vikings beating the Redskins too. So
Ray and Tay today.
It don't take much strength to pull a trigger, but try and get up every morning, day after day, and work for a living. Let's see him try that. Then we'll see who's the real tough guy. The working man is a tough guy. Party people say, party people say, hey.